After a lengthy debate, the state Senate narrowly passed a bill that would overhaul the state's oil tax regime. The changes are projected to give oil companies a break of at least $600 million a year.
The bill we have in front of us is an historic gamble with the people's money.
That was Gary Stevens of Kodiak, a Republican critic of the bill. He was not the only one to describe the bill in betting terms. With oil production on the decline, but no firm commitment from companies to bring more projects online, opinion was split into two camps. Those who felt the stakes were too high to change the tax system, and those like Anchorage Republican Liesl McGuire, who argued that it was a necessary risk.
He's right when he says that it would be a crapshoot and a gamble, but I think that I have the opposite opinion of what that gamble would be.
Alaska currently has a windfall profits tax that requires producers to pay more when the oil prices are high, also called progressivity. The bill that the Senate passed gets rid of that, all while putting in a higher base tax that's offset by a $5 per barrel tax credit. Just one amendment was made to the bill. A measure setting the base tax rate on oil at 35% passed with the support of 11 members of the majority. An earlier version of the legislation would have knocked that tax rate down by a couple of percentage points after 2016. That would have meant an extra $300 million in state revenue lost at forecasted levels of oil production. A late-night press conference following the Senate floor session, Anchorage Democrat Johnny Ellis suggested that the amendment was needed to appease Click Bishop, a Fairbanks Republican who was seen as a swing vote in the debate.
They didn't have the 11 votes until Amendment Number 1 passed.
Majority leadership denied that was the case. The bill ultimately passed on a vote of 11-9. Opposition was primarily led by Democratic minority, with Senators Gary Stevens, Bert Stebbin, Dennis Egan, and Donnie Olson breaking with the majority caucus to vote against the measure. Under a procedural rule, the bill will be kept in the Senate and could get another vote before it moves on to the House. In the House, representatives yesterday passed a Stand Your Ground bill on a 33-5 vote. House Bill 24 expands what's known as the Castle Doctrine, which allows people to use deadly force to protect their homes and businesses from intruders. The controversial legislation extends that protection to any place a person lawfully has a right to be. The bill's sponsor, Big Lake Republican Representative Mark Newman, says it simply clarifies that self-defense is not a crime.
If you're in your home and an invader comes into your home, are you supposed to, you know, if we had a duty to retreat, maybe go hide in your bedroom? That's not what it says. It says you have the right to defend yourself in your home. Why shouldn't you carry those rights anywhere you have a right to be and make that clear?
Newman has introduced versions of the bill in previous legislatures, but they died in the Senate after passing the House. Similar laws are already on the books in about two dozen states around the country. They came under scrutiny last year after unarmed teenager Trayvon Martin was shot and killed by neighborhood watch volunteer George Zimmerman in a suburban Florida community. Initially, Zimmerman was not charged for the shooting because of Florida's Stand Your Ground law. Opponents of House Bill 24 cited concerns over whether it would limit the ability of prosecutors to try gang shootings, especially in Anchorage. Andy Josephson, a Democrat who represents the Anchorage University District, also brought up potential public safety concerns.
I'm worried about more bullets being shot and the innocent people in the background of the shooting scene, in a mall, for example, on a Christmas Eve day, who are just shopping. And I don't think we've covered thoroughly enough what the liability might be to them.
Josephson was one of four Democrats who voted against the bill. The only Republican to oppose it was Lindsey Holmes, a former Democrat who represents West Anchorage and switched parties just before the start of this year's session. The State Department of Law had concerns over the 2010 version of the Stand Your Ground bill, with then-Attorney General Dan Sullivan writing that it would encourage the needless taking of human life. Current Attorney General Michael Garrity reversed course last year and has said that he supports the current version of the bill. House Bill 24 still needs to pass the Senate before it can go to the governor for his potential signature. Leroy Dick Jr. is confessing to killing an unarmed village public safety officer in Manicotic. Dick allegedly shot VPSO Thomas Madole on Tuesday afternoon. Madol was a former pastor who leaves behind a wife, a son, and a daughter. Leroy Dick made his first court appearance yesterday in Dillingham, telling the magistrate that he killed Madol. KDLG's Dave Benninger has more on the story.
According to the state of Alaska's version of when VPSO Thomas Madol arrived, unarmed, at Dick's residence in Manicotic, he was there as a counselor and friend, as much as the only public safety officer on duty that day in the small community. The investigation hasn't produced many details yet, but it's clear VPSO Madol went to the house for a reason, at least a disturbance, possibly a threat of violence or suicide. At some point, VPSO Madol turned to leave the scene and was shot and killed by a rifle, allegedly by Leroy B. Dick, Jr.
Leroy Dick, Jr., 42, of Manicotic, was taken into custody a short time later, not far from the residence where VPSO Madol was located.
That's Colonel Keith Mallard, the director of the Alaska State Troopers. Dick was held in custody overnight and made a first felony appearance in Dillingham Wednesday morning. After having been told of the charge he was facing, which is first-degree murder, and of his rights to a speedy trial and an attorney, Dick at first refused legal counsel. The magistrate gave a lengthy description of why it would be in his interest to have an attorney, whereupon Dick said this.
You still want to proceed without a lawyer?
To be honest, I could say I'm guilty of the crime.
We're not here to take a plea today.
Dick later agreed to have an attorney appointed from the Public Defender's Agency and was remanded back to custody, held on $1 million bail. Dick agreed to speak with me about his actions at the jail in Dillingham Wednesday afternoon.
Well, it came out of frustration, and I shouldn't have done that. I know it's wrong. So I made a big mistake out of it.
Why did that happen?
Well, I didn't want to be bothered, and, I got in argument with my mom and my brother and his dad, and I was kind of feeling unhappy. So, I tried to calm myself, and I end up, doing something wrong to the VPSO. Guess I caused it to happen, He just wanted to talk to me, and I told him not to bother me, and, guess I went out angry and did what I did,
Dick has been in Manicotic for most of his life and claims he had not had any other problems with the VPSO since Madol came to the area in 2011.
Yeah, he's always been good to me ever since he came up, and, he's been good to me and I've been good to him, and, I feel bad what I just did to him, I really do apologize to his family, and, I didn't know he had family of his own. Yeah, I feel sorry for what I did, I really want to apologize, but, I can't fix what just happened,
AST Director Colonel Mallard is confident the investigation has been handled well. VPSO Madol's body was transported to Anchorage earlier. The fallen village public safety officer has traveled and will remain under formal escort by uniformed officers until he's laid to rest.
He's a law enforcement officer. And just like any other law enforcement officer that pay the ultimate price, he will be treated with the same dignity and respect that anybody else would.
Reporting in Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
Governor Sean Parnell released a statement yesterday expressing his sadness over the tragic death of Officer Madol. Parnell has ordered all state flags to be lowered today in honor and memory of Madol. He's the first VPSO to be killed in the line of duty since Ronald Zimmon was shot and killed in the Bristol Bay Borough in 1986.